Guru Nation, welcome to episode 877 of Random Musings from the Canonical Charles Guru. In this episode, I talked to Brad Hightower, my Save Our Sights SOS conference co-founder. He's been off the radar for a few months, going to conferences, and we catch up on his latest travels, his site, how he's planning to expand, and then we get into some conversations about growing sites and the future of the industry from both of our opinions. So definitely something here for everyone, I hope. And really quick, I wanted you guys to check out the links below because we discussed Save Our Sights Conference, saveoursights.com. Please make sure you get your ticket right now. It's still early bird pricing. And by the way, the Omni Hotel, where the conference is going to be held, is still selling rooms. So you don't want the rooms to be sold out by the time you get there. So go check it out. Go connect with Brad underneath. Also, really quick shout out to the sponsors, Inato and Creo. Both will be there at SOS, by the way. Inato is a free portal to get studies for your site. They do not get involved in any other aspects of your trial. And Creo is Command Central Station for my site, Yuma Clinical Trials, and for thousands of other sites around the world. And they also do amazing things like invoicing and patient recruitment, CTMS, e-signatures. I mean, I cannot imagine life as a site owner without Creo at this point. And I know so many others that really helped make their business, especially people that travel a lot that still need to keep track of what's going on at the site and for PIs too. So check out both links in the show notes and enjoy the episode with Brad.
Guru Nation, how's it going? I'm here with a man that has been MIA for a while on LinkedIn. But Brad, you haven't been missing out on much, man. Let me tell you, I've been holding the fort down, and it's the same virtue signaling, faux compliments, and humble bragging as when you left. Maybe just worse.
A lot of still a lot of marketing fluff out there.
Marketing fluff, AI is insane. We were talking about it earlier. Of course, I use it as a tool, but there's an art to using it now that I think everyone's just kind of figuring out.
Yeah, I feel like it's still a little bit too obvious sometimes, like when something's been written, you're like, ah, you didn't write that. Come on. Like, nobody
You're like,
talks like that, or nobody. I mean, I don't know. That's how I try to think, like when I'm
yeah,
writing something, is like,
yeah,
how would I say it? Not how would a
yeah.
freaking computer say it?
And like I said, I told you beforehand, I find it's harder, maybe just as hard, slightly less difficult, if I'm honest, to humanize an AI generated article and add like a lot of original thought, because AI likes to speak in cliches, and I don't want to just contribute more cliches and platitudes to LinkedIn. That's like the abyss of platitudes, like meaningless words. So I try to put meaning into it, and it's a challenge. It's very easy to just let ChatGPT go wild, but adding some meaning to it is almost as difficult as just writing it from scratch. Slightly less. That's why I use it as a tool.
I can see that. I mean, this is why I end up having like these long breaks though, is because I mean, sometimes I just I don't really have shit to say. Like, and I don't necessarily want to like force it. And then to your point, and then it becomes like feels like work to like, force something and then edit it or make it sound like I said it or whatever the case may be. So the downside of that is I probably lose out on a lot of I don't know, engagement or whatever, but I also feel like sometimes it's better to just keep my mouth shut and,
I feel like when we do that, so I've taken not as long as you, but I've taken like some days off of LinkedIn, and when I come back with just a basic post, the algorithm favors it. It's like, hey, welcome back. You should have never left.
Right.
It's giving you that dopamine hit. But yeah, it's definitely an art, and we still need the real ones out there. So keep up the good work, man, when you are on there, and
I'll get
keep
back to
posting.
it. I'll get back to it. There's just so much going on, I mean, running this stuff can easily take up a lot of
Yeah,
your
so
time and
people, that's what I wanted to talk about. So people, I don't know how much you want to share. Feel free not to, but your Oklahoma City site, sites is booming. You've I think you've made it public. You've expanded to Arkansas, right?
Yeah,
That's public. And the other day, I saw one of your posts, CRC Las Vegas. I'm like, oh, Brad's helping someone out, or what's going on? It's for your site, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fairly decent sized rheumatology group out there who's been looking for some support and kind of way to break in. It kind of happened, I don't want to say unexpectedly, but like all things, there's never good perfect timing. So it kind of happened much more quickly than expected. So, you know, we did a site selection visit this week, and I went.
Is it under the Hightower brand still, or is it a new entity?
Yeah, no, it'll still operate under sort of the Hightower umbrella, so to speak. What's up, Scott Witt? I see you there.
What up, Scott?
We got a call with you tomorrow, I think, Scott, so we'll talk. But yeah, so, you know, did a site selection. It was for a lupus trial. Oftentimes the way I would start, because those are not always the easiest trials in the world, but an opportunity to expand and open us up to some additional rheumatology pipeline. So something I felt like we had to take advantage of. And now I got to, you know, try to get a good coordinator in place.
You going to need direct flights from OKC to Vegas?
Man, we don't get direct flights anywhere.
Really?
We may actually. It's a good. I mean, I got to go to Dallas. I got to go to Dallas to
go to Dallas to get to Vegas.
That one, I don't know. Vegas may be popular enough. Let's see if they're.
I hope Phoenix is popular enough for SOS. I knew SOS would come up. My first time going out to OKC will be SOS, and I'm hoping Phoenix has a nonstop. I think I checked, and they did.
That would make sense. I could see
that would make sense. They're like neighboring states, almost neighboring states.
I see. Yeah, it looks like there's direct flights on, like, is it Frontier?
Oh, great. As long as it's not Spirit. If it's Spirit, I'll make a vlog out of just that experience alone.
That'll be good content. People will watch that.
I get on Spirit. I got some ideas for OKC too that I'm going to run it by you privately, because I think there's something we can do that I haven't brought up to any of the planners yet, just Ashley. But we got some potential surprises for you guys. So if you haven't got your ticket yet, where is this banner? SaveOurSites.com. Look, we got to sell. Wait, that's the old one. Same website, though. SaveOurSites.com. Ignore the date. Well, here, let me get a banner. March something or another in OKC.
Just come to Oklahoma City sometime in March. You'll figure it out.
Stay the whole month, and then you won't miss it. Here we go. Let's just play it safe.
It's March 13th there. Through 15th. Okay. There you go. That works.
SaveOurSites.com. I got some interesting things that, like, I thought of that I wanted to see, because you're like the mayor of OKC for research purposes, but I wanted to get your take on a few things. But okay, so expanding, like, what are your thoughts? Are you slowly just becoming a site network, like a homegrown site network?
Honestly, I mean, I feel like that's kind of the direction.
With no PE, or you might get PE?
No PE. That's my plan anyway. I want to do this organically. I'd love to just be able to be like, nah.
What if you find the right PE partner? Like, I might be in that situation, because I was like you.
I'm not going to close the door necessarily, you know, on any opportunities, but for all intents and purposes, the mission or the vision is to do it without, as if at all possible. And the thing is, I think it's possible. Now it might be painful. I might lose even more hair over the next couple of years, but you know, at the end of the day, I'd love to be able to stand back and say, like, we were able to build this, you know, this way. But we'll see. Again, I'm not necessarily saying it's never a possibility, but I mean, it definitely limits the ability to grow and take advantage of some opportunities. So there is a downside, but it also forces me to be really intentional about the growth that we do make, which I appreciate, because I tend to be compulsive sometimes when it comes to these things. Like, every opportunity, I'm like, yeah, let's do that. We should do that. But then if you have to really stand back and look at the ROI or the complexity involved, then you're like, well, shit, now we need to be smart. We can't do that.
So who's your Chris Sauber to tell you no? Because I'm the same.
Yeah, I've got a few people on my team. And I'm actually trying to surround myself with more, because, you know, I need to be reined in.
Hire Chris to be your no man.
Yeah, I might need to.
He serves well.
It's never bad. That's also been interesting throughout this process, is recognizing those differences and differences in personalities, and like surrounding yourself with the right mix. You know what I mean?
Yep.
No, growth, no, but with some good solid no, people that will say no, that's stupid. Don't do that.
You know, the benefit of being in an industry with this much inefficiency is there's a lot of room for error, and so it allows for creativity, even though you don't think of clinical research as a creative endeavor because of the strict regulations and whatnot. But outside of, like, as far as the business model itself, I mean, look at what these MedVector guys are doing. I'm not sure that's going to succeed or fail, but you got to give it to them. It's pretty out of the box thinking.
Right.
There is room for that, strangely enough. And the margins are such to where it's very forgiving, like even for a site, you know. And I think that's something that goes underestimated in our industry, is the number of options you have and the amount of mistakes you are allowed because of the inefficiencies. Like, it's kind of expected that not everything's going to work.
No, I think, it's a really undervalued point. I think there's actually a great deal of room for creativity, more so than people give it credit for. Now, where maybe that changes, and maybe I'm wrong, this is why I feel, well, the private equity, right? So like, if I'm now being, someone's got a pitchfork to my back and be like, go make money right now. That puts me in a bad spot to where, like, maybe you are making decisions that you wouldn't otherwise make. You know what I mean?
Correct. It's very important to find, if you're going to go that route, which I will know by December for Yuma clinical trials, but I'm definitely open to it. Definitely like in deep discussions right now, and has to be the right PE firm, and they have to let me be the platform. And those are the two rules I have. Otherwise, I just go solo, man. I mean, it's not the end of the world to stay solo. Matter of fact, there's, like you said, a lot of benefits to doing that. But with the right group, I think that's why I said don't close the door, because you never know.
Yeah. And again, I talk a lot of smack, but no, I wouldn't. I'd always be open to the right opportunity and the right conversation. And see, Scott's got a question. What are you guys? What are you seeing?
Myra, what's up? By the way, congrats to this girl right here. She's starting her job at a site Monday. Scott, what are other sites seeing lately in feasibility, new study activity? What are you seeing, Brad? Lupus.
I think it's been a little bit quieter. We're starting to see an uptick. I think like real recently, like within the last couple of weeks, I'm starting to see some more. But I definitely, there was a time when it got quiet. So like we use Asana to manage our leads and our pipeline. You definitely saw it go from like huge to like small, and now we're starting to like add a little bit more. So I think it's picking up a little bit, but it got quiet there for a little while.
Yeah, it got a little quiet in the summer. We had psychiatry to pick up the slack, and thank God for psych. It seems like I can never escape psych as much as I try. That's where I got my start. First 10 years of my career, just psych. And then after that, started branching out. And I thought here in Yuma, I could escape it, but no, it's back. You know, I found a psychiatrist, neurologist, and that honestly, psych saved us in the summer, kept us busy, because we had our obesity studies. We're in between other studies, like obesity ended, another one's going to start. COPD, respiratory is pretty busy right now, but we didn't start yet. We have our first screening hopefully tomorrow or next week. But psych, man, depression, bipolar, more depression, good old-fashioned treatment-resistant depression.
Yeah, we're just now trying to grow that out a little bit. We have a great psychiatrist that came on who used to run her own research site.
In OKC?
Previous life. Yeah, in OKC. We've also got a big group in Houston we're trying to get onboarded as well, which is a whole another conversation.
You're all going to be all over the place, man.
Yeah, that's the plan. Slowly but surely.
Have you thought of hiring a project manager for, because you're essentially a site network, you're just bootstrapping it. But
yeah,
we thought of, because if I do this and I get PE money, first thing I'm hiring is a president/PM, because that's not me.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not probably quite there yet, but I could very well see that in the future. Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy. If you do Houston, listen, psych is another animal altogether. There's psychometric raters and there's a lot of nuances there to where like make or break you in that first year. Psych is tough. I got used to it. That's all I know. But
we have an SIV for a schizophrenia trial here anytime now. That'll be kind of our first jump. There's some others. Yeah. We did a PSV for bipolar yesterday, I think. So we're starting to see the pipeline kind of open up a little bit.
Yeah, awesome, man. Yeah, we screened our first bipolar yesterday. Maybe it's that same study. Not sure.
Could be.
Other than that, derm a little bit. There's some derm. We don't do OB or GI, but I know those are busy, kind of.
We're at a point where, because a lot of the reason I got into this hospital group was because of the GI, and the GI was really IBD specific. So Crohn's and ulcerative colitis, it's oversaturated in my mind, in ulcerative colitis and Crohn's. There's too many. We're turning them away like before we even look at them, just because we can't, and they're difficult, very difficult. Protocols. I mean, a lot of these people have already tried all kinds of things to disqualify them. So that's one that I think is booming if you have access to the population at the right time. For us, I think we're probably catching these patients a little too late because they're already at a specialist and they've already kind of gone through some of the treatment options that otherwise disqualify them. It seems like it hasn't slowed down in the 4 or 5 years that we've been here. And I've just seen those UC Crohn's trials one after another.
Yeah, I used to see, actually monitored a Crohn study back in the day, 2016 being back in the day. Yeah, that's a whole new world. What about cardio? I've been really struggling. I know I've been texting you. I still have yet to get a study for my cardiologist, and I've been trying for almost a year now.
We saw a run of hypertriglyceride trials, which I mean, I guess you could call that metabolic, or you could call it cardiology. I can consider it cardiology. We saw a few of those. We're here in a hospital. We're actually, and we have an SIV today at 3, for some device stuff. So that's kind of one of the advantages of being associated with the hospital, is they've got electrophysiology, as well as all the interventional cardiology. So yeah, it's cardiology, but kind of maybe on the periphery, being a little bit more interventional, and maybe not, you know, your outpatient, cardiology or internal med group's not going to be able to get these trials, but there's plenty of those for these big boy device companies.
Yeah. There's I put you in touch with MSL from a big company, because our cardiologist is interventional, but we don't have hospital privileges because they also do, like, we're their only competitor, really. So they won't let us, like, use their infrastructure for that.
You got to find a nice ambulatory surgery center, something like that. Those are great places to do these trials.
Yeah, I may approach them. Dr. Joe, who's one of our investigators, might moonlight at the other hospital. It's really just the fancy urgent care, but they call themselves. Yeah. We might do that. But there's, and this is what I told the PE too, there's so much room to grow. Like, I don't need the money to grow in Yuma or the surrounding cities, but if you give me a blank checkbook for expanding, like finding potential sites that are almost at that point of acquisition, but not quite, I got plenty of those. And that's kind of what I'm debating with the team. And so, yeah, like all this stuff will be important. In your case, with expansion, are you like, there's no way you could be on every DOA log anymore, no?
No, I'm getting further and further away from that, for better or worse. I mean, probably for better. Yeah. You know, I always tell people, like, I was never a great coordinator.
Nah, that's not true, man. I think coordinating is also a forgiving profession where you can, I've seen such a wide variety of personalities do well. You knowing you would be a good coordinator. I was a decent coordinator too, but it's just, there's better. I get what you're saying. There's better people for that. The only thing I remain on is some psychometric rating skills, because it's kind of tough to find people here, but
sure.
Otherwise I'm off the DOA logs and everything. At this point, I think it's just preparing the foundation for if we end up doing something nationally, that, my role is something else entirely, not just at the individual site levels. But it's exciting times, man.
Yeah. Stressful and exciting.
What gives you the most stress now, like these days?
I mean, and so we're, and you know, I mean, this is probably, we should have been well past this point, but you know, I'm, I guess, 6 years in at this point. But I think now, like, growing beyond the point of being sort of like, you know, hey, we're sort of a mom and pop little lifestyle business, to like, okay, let's go not conquer the world, but let's go expand and make this bigger than it is. And making that transition, having to like go back and really yourself and your processes, because like what got us to this point is not going to get us to the next point. You know what I mean? So I'm going to go back yeah. and sort of really drill down and like carve out your processes to make them consistent. Cause it's one thing when you were 4 coordinators, 2 coordinators, you can keep an eye on everybody. It's easy to tell what's going on, but pretty soon you got a coordinator in an oncology center in Arkansas. You got one in, you know, Las Vegas. You got one in wherever else in Houston. You know, you can't operate that way anymore. So
are they all reporting to you right now?
Yeah, right now. Well, yes. And that's changing as we speak. Yeah. I mean, that's currently something that's being restructured and reworked, and then but also maintaining like the culture that you want to keep, you know what I mean? Like yeah. I don't want to be like some of these. I mean, go to Glassdoor, pick any big site network, read the reviews from the CRCs, and see what kind of culture these places have. Just pick any of them. I mean, I don't want to call anybody out, but like, you know, send me a message, I'll tell you who to look at, and you'll see like how seemingly shitty it is to work for some of these companies as a CRC. And like, there's no reason it has to be that way.
What are the major complaints? Just lack of appreciation or?
Yeah, I think they're overworked. They're underpaid. They're treated like crap by their management. you know, like, I mean, not on probably unlike any other like corporate setting where, you know, people have complaints, yeah. but like, you know, I mean, again, and I'm sure well, maybe not you. You've been doing this more independently for a long time now. But, you know, I worked at a couple of sites as more of a coordinator or manager and like seen how, you know, coordinators can be treated. And, you know, it's not ideal.
No,
that's why they're rushing to get out of there. They want to be a CRA. You know, they don't want to stay at the site.
Yeah, until they become a CRA and they're like, whoa, it's even worse over here.
Yeah, right, right.
But at least they're getting paid like double. Well, in some cases, not quite double, but CRA salaries have also gone down a little. It's an interesting job market too, like not just sites, but CROs are not hiring. CROs are kind of like having an identity crisis too. Well, if sponsors are, have you noticed sponsors getting more active, engaging you, like as opposed to the CROs?
For sure.
Yeah, me too. It's like, even if I wasn't looking for this trend, I would notice it by now. Like, why are they all of a sudden they want to come meet me every month? Like, nothing to do with the study. Just, hey, we're a sponsor so-and-so, and it's our scheduled time to meet. I'm like, okay, that's new. Give us more studies.
I mean, I was going to say, I mean, I like that. I mean, I think that, you know, so much is just transactional based off of like one project or one study. You don't get that
right.
broader relationship, which I think everybody suffers from. And like, when you've seen it, like you can have a great experience with a sponsor or CRO generally, and then the next one is terrible, and then the next one's great, and the next one's terrible. And there's no consistency, you know, across any of this.
Right.
And a lot of times you don't have a true person to talk to who gives a crap. You know, you can tell your CRA, but what do they care? They got 15 sites. Then they got to be in Chicago tomorrow, and they got to write their report in the airport, you know, or in the Uber on the way to the airport. Like, they don't, not that they don't care, they're great people, but they got bigger problems.
They've got their own things to deal with. I actually have to email one of my CRAs now and say, hey, where's our startup payment? It's been like 4 months. And I don't want to be like Brad, where it's like 17 months.
right.
Your last post, I remember that one. I was like, how the hell you get that long? But I mean, it's possible with some of these.
That company reached right out not too long after that and
had a nice
conversation.
So they knew who they were based on your post.
Well, I might not have like fully redacted everything quite as well as I could have, but
you know. I'll just stick to emailing my monitor and hopefully it gets to the right people. The issue is, in this case, I sent the invoice. The person from the CRO, this time the CRO is the good guy, I guess, they received it. They said, yeah, you did everything right, but the contract hasn't been sent to us from the sponsor. So we can't pay it until we receive the contract, and we can't accept it from you. It has to come from them. So now I'm like screaming in this black hole, like emailing, and nobody's responding. And so I don't know what to do, man, but it's been like going on 4 months now, and we're out of pocket. We had to pay Creo. We had to pay advertising. We had, our coordinators have done a shitload of stuff already. We got our first screening tomorrow. We're going to have to pay that person cash probably. Like, where is the startup? So there's still some improvement, room for improvement, I think. But for the most part, the sponsors are doing a better job of interacting with sites. And this brings us to the greater point of, should CROs have been doing this all along, like from the beginning? Have you ever had a CRO liaison reach out and say, hey, I'm such and such from IKEVIA, and we want to meet with you every month to see like what kind of studies you want to do?
I not in a while. I did see that a few years ago, and it didn't seem to last very long. And I mean, I'll be honest too, like the more I do this and the more I talk to other people, like that's a damn full-time job to getting these sort of higher pipeline level relationships and maintaining them. And actually we're trying to bring in, you know, help to do that. But no, it's been a while. And when, again, we used to have one with, I don't know, maybe it was like PPD or somebody like that. We talked to them once a month, and, you know, it was clearly like a vetting process though. Cause they're like, here's 10 crappy studies. Which one do you want? And then I think it was like, you know, can we do it and do a good job? And then maybe we get bumped up to the next like tier of decent studies, you know. But, you know, I have to assume that these larger site networks who have, you know, BD teams are able to do this stuff at a much more sophisticated way than, you know, smaller groups like you or I.
And that might be the future of the industry. I mean, unless the sponsors completely take over the communication, which maybe they will, the technology is definitely there.
I will say, like, you know, I have been out at some conferences, and I still think a big buzzwordy phrase I keep hearing is how to be a sponsor of choice, right? Like, how do sponsors, like, like how do sponsors get sites to want to work with them or work for them? And I know, like, it's competitive at the site level, and I think that's underappreciated. Like, if I've got two studies that are similar, one sponsor is great and one's not, like, who are you going to give your time and attention to?
Yeah,
the one you like and the one who treats you well. I think they're getting a little bit more savvy when it comes to that. So I keep seeing it come up, like, how do we be a sponsor of choice? And I'm like, dude, just first of all, just pay people on time appropriately. That's a big one, you know. Like, that'll go a long way.
That'd be one. Yeah, we can tell you how to not be a sponsor of choice. Maybe that's an easier way to go about it. Like, right. Top 5 things not to do, you know, to not be a sponsor of choice, and payments right up there at the top. So that stuff there? Like,
do I?
At these conferences, they're really serious about these kind of conversations? Like,
it seems like it. And I do think a part of that is more direct interaction and relationship building with sites. Like, I hear that, you know, being tossed around now.
But again, like, why do they go to conferences to learn that? Like, what? I don't understand. Or break, like, panel.
Yeah, I've seen panels. I think it's just them. I think it's, you know, some of these companies trying to share more broadly, like, you know, how to do that. And again, I don't know why, because that's seems better competitive advantage, you know, as a sponsor, if you do that yourself. And again, I don't think it requires a panel. Just go talk to sites. That's it.
Yeah, go in your wherever that conference was. I'm sure there was like 10 sites they could have visited in that time, and actually got something out of it.
Well, and that's a big part. That's a big problem still, is that like you go to these things and it's a bunch of people from sponsors talking at each other, but there's not a site to be found, you know? Like, so what are you doing? Yeah. Plenty of tech bros and vendors. So, you know, these are great that you're having these conversations, but you're not really having them with the right people. But I guess that's why, you know, try to put together things like SOS, where, you know, the people who need to be a part of these conversations can actually have them and be a part of them.
I like what you did there. Thais, I agree with having BD help. Yeah, that to me, like, even though I'm my own client for DSCS, we help sites get studies with leads, and we get, you know, an extra 4 studies a year maybe doing that, plus the contract and budget help. But like, it would be nice to have just a full-time BD person, you know, at your site. Tay said, funny as it sounds, sponsors have programs around being sponsor of choice. I've heard it for many years. You know what's interesting? I don't know if you started Hightower yet. 2012, 2013-ish, there was this thing called Preferred Sites. Mm. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, it was before my time, but I was familiar. It was before I started this, but I was familiar and had heard that thrown around.
I mean, I was very wet behind the ear. And there was no YouTube channel yet. There was, but I didn't know what I was doing with it yet. And there, this whole thing was, how do you become a quintiles site? This was before IKEVIA. How do you become a quintiles preferred site? How do you become a PPD preferred site? And all these site owners were like trying to share with each other, like, hey, how did you do it? Who did you talk to? It was like Wizard of Oz. Like, who do you need to contact for them to refer you to someone? Like a speakeasy almost. And right. That only lasted like a year. That whole trend, like, it was another bubble, like similar to like DCT or whatever the next buzzword is. It lasted for like a year or two. I think CROs were using the opaqueness of the industry still to have a competitive advantage when it comes to sponsors. And then I don't know what happened. They weren't able to have any cohesion because it was not understood. If I'm a site for quintiles, can I work with PPD? Like, and then sites were confused too, and there was less transparency back then, believe it or not. Today is like very transparent compared to a decade ago. And now it's the inverse. Now it's sponsor of choice. So the sites, it's like flipped upside down. Now sponsors are like asking, how do I get, you know, a sponsor of choice for, I mean, they're actually paying big money at conferences to figure that out. Just talk to me and Brad.
Right. I mean, it does make sense though, right? I mean, they need us, and there's a ton of us, and there's still a ton of competition. I mean, I don't know. It makes a lot of sense. I don't know if it's actually, I mean, the fact that they've had programs around it like for many years is a little bit concerning, because you'd think they'd be a little further down the road than they are. But I guess it's not a bad thing if they're trying to figure out a best, you know, interact and sort of serve sites, which maybe that's putting it strongly, but I'll take it.
Well, in this same vein, we got our first verbal commitment from a sponsor, actual sponsor to sponsor SOS this year.
Nice.
So we got one, and maybe more to come. Like, I'm working on a couple, and hopefully, you know, I think this SOS should be an interesting one. And I've basically committed myself to not going to any other conference except this. I'm going to be busy with this potential new development, or even if it doesn't happen, plenty of other things. Patient Ace is something that's going to keep me busy by itself. So conferences, I don't have time. I know you go, and I'm just bitter about like the conferences still. Like, the tech ones, maybe. They're far enough removed to where, you know, maybe it's like less bitter to go deal with those guys, but still they're like removed from the real operations. Just bothers me. I know it's not supposed to be, but it bothers me to like have those conversations.
I get it. And yeah, I went on a pretty decent little run over the last few months, but you know,
like the Beatles, man, going on making your tour.
Well, I'm like, you know, I went to Viva Summit, which, you know, I know we both have had, you know, relationships with Viva. I thought it was nice because they really tried to carve out some site specific components, which I thought, again, was great. I met some sponsors. It was very cool. And then I did SCDM, which is something I would never go to in my life. You know, it's data management. But in their defense, what they were trying to do is actually, like, we've never had a site come and like talk to these data managers.
Yeah.
So we want to have a site panel and hear like what happens at a site? Like, how do things work? Which I think is great. I think,
how do you answer a query?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think even just like, not even that level of specificity, but like getting a general picture of like how a site works and understanding like how data management can have an impact on like the bigger picture of operations. Cause I don't think, you know, I don't know about you, but like we've had people come out over the last year. We've had, I mean, Viva came out, Y Prime, I think Clario came out. And I think it really opens people's eyes when they like bring a team and they see like, oh shit, like this is the stuff that actually happens at a site, or you have a closet full of iPads or, you know, ePros or whatever. Like, oh, you have a room full of binders and shipping containers. Like, it's one thing to hear it, but it's something else to see it. Clean,
dude. This is like leftover because I need to buy more cabinet. This is just one of the suites. We have like five here.
Right.
And then we have clinics too. This is just like the home base. It's ridiculous. Yeah, we do also, not Viva, but Viva is going to come out. But yeah, man, someone should start a podcast in that space called Correct As Is Pod. And because that's every coordinator's favorite response to queries.
Right. So it was good. I mean, again, it's like that's a conference I wouldn't, you know, really normally go to, but I thought whatever we can do just to get the site experience out to more people across the industry can't be bad, right? Like,
okay, so from the ones you've been to just in this recent run, right? Do you want to rank them in order of favorite to least favorite? Or you don't want to do that?
Ooh, no, I don't want to necessarily do that because I don't want to throw any of them under the bus. Like, I think they all had value.
I'm curious, man. What was your favorite then?
So, I mean, my favorite probably was the that innovation gathering that just happened like a couple of weeks ago. And I think that's different. It's almost like, I almost struggle to call that like a clinical research conference. Like, okay, it's a component for sure, but it's structured a little bit differently. It's very small. And because of that, like, you actually do connect with people that like you wouldn't otherwise. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's like heads of departments and some of these big sponsors that I actually have, like, I'm having lunch with, and I'm like, shit, like, I can get some direct like info that's like I wouldn't otherwise approach this person.
That thing? Like,
I think it was only like 130 people or something like that.
Wow. Okay. Maybe that's one I'll make an exception for next year.
Yeah. I mean, it was good. I think they, you know, they have these kind of working groups throughout that, like, you basically have a, you know, you have like a topic or a question you try to address and build something that, you know, presumably fixes it. I mean, it's not always like, it's a little bit of an exercise in like problem solving, right? So I'd be like, okay, we have a company that's going to address it and here's how it's going to do it, which is fun. And you're also working with these people you don't otherwise know, which again, just opens up a lot of relationships and makes you see perspectives from all across different parts of the industry. So we had again, like somebody who was like a head of development at some big pharma. There was somebody who was like a real world evidence expert. We had somebody from a tech company. We had someone else from like a site, bigger site network, who was running and facilitating the group. So you get different perspective, and you learn a crap load because you're like, oh, this is how sponsors think of things. Or you know,
you want to just like create your own shit, like for your site.
I mean, yeah, it's like extreme. You walk away with like all these ideas, which of course you can't possibly pursue all of. But you know, again, you do at least get insight in a more candid way, I think, because they're kind of like little closed door working groups. So it's stuff that like people would probably never say publicly. It's not like bad stuff or trade secrets or anything, but you're like, oh, this is actually why this doesn't happen, or why this does happen, or this is how thinking about these different issues, or whatever the case may be. So again, I find it like extremely valuable, even though it's not your typical conference. Otherwise, you know, my strategy at the other conferences is like, if I want a panel, I'll talk on the panel. But otherwise, like, I'm, you know, going to hit the bar and find people to talk to and actually make real connections with people. Yeah.
Which is what we're trying to do at SOS, like facilitate a giant version of that. And, you know, we're going to touch some sensitive topics. Like one person on a live stream yesterday with Darshan reached out and said, why don't you ever discuss the elephant in the room, which is CRC's doing all the PI's work. And I was like, yeah, every site does it. I don't care who you are, what you say, they're doing it to some degree or another. Some all in on it, and then others just they turn it on and off. But there is no site, I am convinced, that does not have CRCs do the work of the PIs. And these are real conversations, because then if you take that thread further, it's, well, why don't CRCs get paid more then? Yeah. And, you know, these are not questions that we have answers for necessarily, nor are they comfortable, nor do most people want to admit the truths. And if we can't agree on the truths, we're never going to solve the real problems. So to your point, the truths tend to come out on these intimate settings.
Yeah, agree. And I mean, that's a perfect example that, yeah, I mean, I feel like I talked to someone about real recently. Like, I mean, we know what happens. You know, we don't like to talk about it.
Sponsors know. Listen, every stakeholder that matters knows.
Yeah.
CRC, PI, monitor, sponsors, FDA, they all know. They're basically just saying, document your shit properly. Like, that's all we're asking. We all know this shit's going on, but I mean, it's not a secret.
Yeah.
Just baffling, man. And I'm a business owner too, so I can't just come out and like speak 100% truth all the time, but everybody knows it's out there. Haley says CRC, look, I'm telling you, this is a topic right here. CRC is doing the PI's work. What a brave statement to make publicly. I commend them. Well, he was hiding behind a Batman avatar on Twitter, but I know who he is. And yes, no, anyone who denies this is a liar. More advanced degree equals more money. It's unfortunate, but the truth for the CRC. But the best way to learn is through experience. My man with a PharmD and RPH. For sure, man. For sure. Yeah, that's it. I just want to do like a follow-up with you and see what you got going on. And quite honestly, we're trying to sell hotel rooms for the conference, so...
Yeah, we'll start doing some more sort of pop-up streams here. And I want to, you know, maybe get in, give away a couple of tickets here and there. And
I already have, man.
Yeah.
I told them, but you got to buy their hotel. Right. I give you a ticket. Please buy the hotel. Because if we don't sell 350 or something, 380, I don't know what the number is. I don't want to think about it too much. But just go to the website and then please get the hotel, not an Airbnb. For once, please. I'm asking.
I mean, it's pretty reasonably priced, too, for some of these conferences I've been going to where the hotel prices are absolutely insane.
Yeah, but the last SOS live stream we did, I was making the same plea. People like super fans, like Rod Raphael, was asking, what hotel? We got air. I'm like, hold on, guys. How do we not know this? Like, this is very important. So please. Omni Hotel, okay, a very nice place.
Right? Omni, it's right down the street. It is very nice.
Okay,
I don't think I can. I don't think I can see it from my window, but very close to where I am right now.
All right, man. Well, I know you got a SIV. We have one here tomorrow, actually, for a derm study, and I haven't seen that PI in a while, so I'll come to say hi to him. Yeah, just wanted to follow up with you and try to sell some tickets or really sell some rooms.
There you go.
See what you've been up to, man. It sounds like a lot. So any final words you want to say for the Guru Nation? They've missed you, man. Your silence resonated. So now you're back.
I'll be back soon. SaveOurSites.com, Oklahoma City. Book the Omni.
And Brad's hometown. Let's go. Thank you, Brad. Everybody go follow him if you're not already. Link to him underneath the show notes. Take care.
Later, guys.